Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The text is Hebrews chapter 4, verses 4 through 16. The Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Kratomentes homologias. Great word, homologia. To say the same thing. Repeat to God what he has told us. To confess what he has given us to confess. I'm usually at the Chicago March for Life, speaking in the plaza. And last time I went was kind of a strange experience. I was walking over in my collar, as usually dressed, and a young man in kind of all black fatigues approached me on a bicycle with various paraphernalia on, and he said, "Where are the Nazis?" I said, "I haven't seen them." And he said, don't lie to me. We know you're with the Nazis. You're on the same page." I said, I don't even know any Nazis. And I started to kind of laugh and talk to him. "Don't try to be friendly with me. We're enemies." Well, I found out just a little bit later that he was with a significant group of Antifa as we marched. And I'm singing, "I am Jesus' little lamb." And they're shouting F-bombs and everything else you could possibly imagine. But then, equally bizarre, and it was like something out of the Blues Brothers, get to the end of the march, last block, and who shows up? There's about 30 guys in brown shirts, brown caps, you know, everything but a Vega station wagon, and that final scene in the Blues Brothers, you know? There they are. They're walking off by themselves. What a bizarre world we live in today. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Ibram Kendi defines everything as racial. If you don't accept the prevailing narrative on global warming, you're racist. Because global warming affects the global south. You're racist if you send missionaries, because that's just an excuse to impose white morals on dark-skinned people. It goes on and on and on. Everything is racial. Everything is conflict. Everything is oppression. On the other hand, people are pushed to untenable, unreasonable, and unchristian views on all kinds of corresponding ideas. Interracial marriage is somehow evil, or we must judge the world by race and supremacy of race and other kinds of issues. You know what I like about the pro-life movement? Its fundamental recognition of the divinely given value, temporal and eternal, of every single life. God has made me and all creatures, Luther says in the Catechism. Paul stated, from one man God created all the nations on earth. No one is righteous, no, not one. The great equalizer, the law. And then the greatest equalizer in the history of the universe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. South African church was struggling with racism in the church. And a student of Zasa rightly pointed out, he said, it was Friedrich Wilhelm Hopf, he said, the sadest est of the Augsburg Confession solves the issue for us. It is enough for the true unity of the church that the gospel be preached purely and the sacraments administered according to the word of God. End of story. There is no other division possible in the church. None. Zasa wrote right in the midst of the Hitler regime, the essence of the church is defined in purely theological terms by our confessions and never anthropologically or sociologically. The church proceeds from God and not from man. The church is defined by Article 4 on justification. Zasa again, the church is not constituted by any human qualities, nor our faith, or the holiness of our lives, nor any sociological state of affairs, a particular form of structuring. The church is constituted by the real presence of Jesus Christ the Lord, who in his gospel and in his sacraments is really and personally present. There's not a shred of nationalistically bound or racially bound criteria for the church, or necessarily for society at all, in the Lutheran confessions. None. Why is this? Because there's not a shred of this racial dissonance or racial dissonance allowed by the New Testament. Not a shred. Why do you think Simon of Cyrene was picked out to bear the cross of Jesus? Of course, Jesus didn't look like me. He was a Palestinian Jew. Didn't look like a Libyan. That's where Cyrene was, Libya, before the invasion of Islam in the 7th century, which brought Arabic peoples all across North Africa. Simon Cyrene was a black man. And then you note, very early on in the church's life, the Acts of the Apostles, several times the Acts mentions in the makeup of individuals, so-and-so the Cyrene was present. Right from the beginning. There was a plague at the time of Cyprian. Cyprian of Carthage, North Africa. About 250 AD, the Decian persecutions were on there. Valerian, I think, followed after that. Horrible time for Christians. The plague, just exactly what kind of plague is not clear, but the plague struck. And there was devastation everywhere, rotting bodies everywhere. Cyprian preached, says his biographer. He preached, all these bodies, whether Christian or not, all these bodies came from the ground, a reference to Adam, and must be honored by being returned to that from which they came. And they buried the pagans and the Christians alike. The culture was awash. The scene was awash with people trying to profit from the disaster. And he called on his Christians in the name of Jesus. You believe in justification by faith, then serve. And they won a hearing. They won the hearts of many, many people for that service. Will we save America? I'm afraid that's God's job. What has the fall of Roe taught us? There have been some good things that have happened in states like Missouri, and the numbers have gone down in places where the laws have come into effect. In other places, like Illinois, it's pedal to the metal. And with 60 million odd abortions, that means a huge percentage of our contemporaries have had abortions or participated, male and female. Think of all the bad consciences out there. The louder they scream, they betray, the louder their conscience is inside of them. And we don't go as some righteous fool trying to look for Antifa or the Nazis. We go as sinners. No one is righteous, no, not one. And we bear witness. That's what I like about the pro-life movement. That's what I like about the Missouri Synod pro-life folks who are active. Bearing witness in word and deed. Caring. Think about all the people who have been terribly hurt by the trans movement. The 4,000% increase in young women. Think of the lives being devastated by prepubescent, postpubescent surgeries. These lives are precious. Every one of them, no matter how confused or scared or anything else. And we are put on this earth to hold fast our confession, to know that we have a high priest who's gone before us, and we shall follow him where he goes, come life and come death, and serve him joyfully in his name, to be a blessing, even us, even wretched sinners, even us, today. Let us hold fast the confession. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.